So to be honest with you, if I can be honest, because I usually am, most of the time, when it was announced that schools would be closed initially for 2 weeks, when that announcement first came out, the first thing I did was go to the store and stock up on non-perishable foods, and then I went and stocked up on seeds for vegetables. I was about to say, because what else could you get for seeds? I guess you could use fruit, but yeah, I got a ton of vegetable seeds because, you know, I'm trying to be prepared. And then as this thing stretched on, my wife and I began making different financial choices, started saving more, and we started putting our money in different places that were a little more secure and a little more safe. Not in our house, so don't come rob me. And now, as things are going on and we are seeing civil unrest, and we are seeing calls for defunding the police. Now my thought is, oh my goodness, do I need to start stocking up on guns? How should we prepare for cataclysms in the future? How should we prepare for calamity in the future that's coming? How should we prepare for future calamities? How should we do it? How should we prepare for future calamities? If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you, go back to Joel. Go to Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Remember the context of this. He first told them while they were living in the decimation of the plague of locusts, that Joel told them, declare a public fast, a public day of prayer, for help, so that God will come and help them. So then you think, okay, they did that, and now what do they have to do next? Chapter 2, verse 1, things get better? No, things get worse. Chapter 2, verse 1, blow the horn in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the residents of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. In fact, it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and total darkness, like the dawn spreading over the mountains. A great and strong people appears, such as never existed in ages past and will never again in all the generations to come. A fire devours in front of them, and behind them a flame of blazes. The land in front of them is like the Garden of Eden, but behind them it is like a desert wasteland. There is no escape from them. Their appearance is like that of horses, and they gallop like war horses. They bound on the top of mountains. Their sound is like the sounds of chariots, like the sound of fiery flames consuming stubble, like a mighty army developed for war. Nations writhe in horror before them. All faces turn pale. They attack as warriors attack. They scale walls as men of war do. Each goes on his own path, and they do not change their course. They do not push each other. Each proceeds in his own path. They dodge the arrows, never stopping. They storm the city and run on the walls. They climb into the houses. They enter through the windows like thieves. The earth quakes before them. The sky shakes. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars cease their shining. The Lord makes his voice heard in the presence of his army. His camp is very large. Those who carry out his command are powerful. Indeed, the day of the Lord is terrible and dreadful. Who can endure it? So Joel gives us this this extended scene. And while you're at home on Facebook or YouTube, we'll be checking on there for comments. Joel was foretelling of a coming army that was going to decimate Judah. What are some possible hardships you see in the very near future hitting our country? So what are some of the possible hardships you see hitting our country in the very near future? Go ahead and write those in YouTube or on Facebook. So for Joel, they're here decimated by locusts, and they're like, oh my goodness, well, how are we going to survive? And after prayer and fasting, Joel says, and it's going to get worse. And he says it's the day of the Lord. And so the day of the Lord is the ultimate day when God will come to judge the living and the dead, where God comes back to make judgment and justice on the earth. The only who are saved are the righteous, those who have chosen to follow him. But there's also like mini days of the Lord. This is like God's mini judgment, but on Judah. So for them, it is like the end of days. And God is choosing, like in the book of Habakkuk, to use an ungodly army in order to bring judgment to his unjust people. We're not told exactly what their sin issue was and why God was choosing to use a godless army to judge them, but we know that he's justified. And so if you read the description of these people, they have like fiery flames. They can jump from mountaintop to mountaintop. It's almost like this supernatural thing. In fact, he's saying they don't push each other, which is kind of a weird thing for him to say at first, until you realize they don't push each other because they don't need to. It's like a one-man army. They set their path, right? Usually with an army in ancient times, you have this wall and you have to come and you have to besiege the tower. You have to take siege towers and you have to have ladders and it takes a long time. And the people who go up the ladder first are the first to die, right? And then you have to fight into the interior of the fort or the, of the city and to get into the homes and everything. But here Joel says, no. They're a one-man army. They jump from mountaintop to mountaintop. They scale the walls with their bare hands. They get into the city. They conquer everyone in their way. And then they get into your home. One person conquers the entire city. He says, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. Those who carry out his command are powerful and dreadful. Indeed, the day of the Lord is terrible and dreadful. Who can endure it? So things are bad. You were decimated by the locust. And now there's an army, and it is totally going to destroy you, and there is nothing that you can do. He says this, blow the horn. So he says to blow the horn, and this is the kind of horn that it would have been. A shofar, right? And it's an amazing instrument, right? You guys want to hear me make the sound? I can see your heads nodding at home. This is what it sounds like. Hold on, I can do better. Horrible sound. Absolutely horrible noise. Sometimes you see them play in the movies and it's like, boom. That's not what it sounds like. It sounds like a dying elephant. But it's very unique and everyone knows what it sounds like. Everyone knows what this thing sounds like. It's like a fire detector or smoke alarm. You hear the noise and you know, be alert. Something bad is happening. We're living in uncertain times. So how should we be alert? Let's see. Oh, Ronnie says, love you, Nathan. Yeah, love you too, Ronnie. Let's see. Marge says, defunding the police. Yep, that is something on the horizon. Antifa will invade people's homes, destroy your homes, as well as harm your families, Linda says, and pets. And what else? What other problems? Morning, Nathan, Orchard Church from Indiana. Hey, good to see you, Drew. And Nate is also here. Good to have you here on YouTube and in person, Nate. Drew says, martial law, further economic depression, continued or increased racial tensions. Yeah, Drew, absolutely. That was over on YouTube. Yeah, there's that. We have economic woes coming in the future. Oftentimes, when there are major economic depressions, we see war. I don't know who we'd go to war with, but that seems to be a trend in historical records, is that when things get bad, people go to war. That's a possibility. I don't know. There are so many things that we're facing. The economic downturn, civil unrest, more unrest. We just don't know. We don't know. But we can sense it, and you can feel the tension rising among people as we talk to them. We don't know what's happening, and it seems really bad in those days. Now, again, I don't know if all of the things that we're currently experiencing or all the things coming are part of God's judgment against our country. But if it was, God would be totally justified to do so, wouldn't he? I mean, think about it. We discard and disregard our children as a country. As a country, we give lip service to treating women with honor and respect, and our the movies and television that we produce show a totally different story. We do not have respect and regard for women. We don't, as a society. We all say that we love and care for the poor, and yet the numbers and the people who help out the poor show a different story. I know we often differ how we should help the poor, but in reality, we actually don't. In fact, our laws are kind of in place to keep people into poverty. And people who are in poverty can attest to that. And friends that I had have been stuck into those systems for years, decades, generations sometimes. We support human trafficking as a country. And we support human trafficking as a country by the things that, I know we have mixed crowd here, so by the things that we consume on our websites late at night, which has only increased since this crisis has happened, not decreased, that fuels human trafficking and rises the demand. We support human trafficking by the choices we make, by the things we view on the internet late at night. I don't know if the coming problems are God's judgment, but if it was, we fully deserve it. How should we prepare for coming calamity? How should we prepare for future calamity? Honestly, me, I'm over here. I'm stocking up on food. I already told you. I'm like, oh man, I got to stock up on food. I got to stock up on money, and I got to stock up on self-defense. I have to. Maybe I should take a self-defense course too. On top of that, I don't know where I would because of social distancing. But what should we do? How should we prepare? Joel has a different idea. He says in verse 12, "Even now, this is the Lord's declaration. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Tear your hearts, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and he relents from sending disaster. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him. So you can offer grain and wine to the Lord your God." Remember, they were not able to offer anything because of the locust decimation. So at home, what I want you to do is write on Facebook or YouTube, why is it so hard for people to repent? Why do you think it's so hard for people to repent? Because that's what Joel is calling the people to do. He's calling them nationally. Even now, this is the Lord's declaration, which, by the way, sometimes when you read the prophets, you're not sure if it's the prophet speaking or if it's God speaking, but you'll understand that it's Holy Scripture, so it's always God speaking, but sometimes in the prophet's voice, and sometimes the prophet is just relaying what God actually told him, word for word, verbatim, what to say. Very confusing, and that's the point, in case you're like me, and you're like, who's talking here? It doesn't really matter. It's coming from God through the lips of the prophet. This is the Lord's declaration. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Tear your hearts, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord your God. So when he says, turn to me, that's repentance. Repentance is when I'm doing this one thing, I'm kicking puppies, right? And then you're like, oh, that's wrong. I shouldn't do that. I won't kick puppies anymore. Good boy, right? That's what repentance is when you're doing one thing and you decide, no, I'm going to do another thing instead. So turn to me with all your hearts. God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and he relents from sending disaster. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him so that you can go and worship him properly again. The image that they're giving you, he says, tear your heart, not just your clothes. So in ancient Israel, when you were in mourning, if someone you loved died, you would tear your clothes as a sign of mourning. When you were convicted of your sin, you would tear your clothes as a sign of your conviction. Now, in 21st century America, in where we have new clothes, they didn't really have the same clothes we had. They were more rugged and durable, and they didn't have buttons. It is really easy to tear off clothes and to break them apart. But the hard thing to do, I have not pre-tested this out, so we're going to see how weak I am live on camera, is to actually, I'm tangled up, is to actually tear your clothing. Now think about that, right? And they were master seamsters. It's hard. It's not like Hulk Hogan in WWE, right? It's hard to tear your clothes. And that's the image he wants to give us, is don't just tear your clothes for show and maybe God will see you. He wants you to tear your heart. And look how much effort it's going to take me to try and at least rip off a sleeve here. Oh my goodness. That's what he wants you to do to your heart. He wants your heart to break. He doesn't want you to point fingers and say, it's their fault. It's those people's fault. You know, the reason this country is this way is because X, Y, and Z. If only they listened to me. No. He wants you to break your own heart. He He's saying the problem that you're facing right now, the justice, is because of you, not because of them. Tear your heart. Let it be broken over your own sin and return to God. So what does Joel say? How should we respond? How should we prepare for coming calamity? How should we prepare for future calamity? We should prepare for future calamity through corporate repentance, as a group, as a whole, because we need it. Now, why is it so hard for people to repent? Drew over on YouTube says, it's too hard to repent because society has accepted what is wrong is right and what is right is wrong. Yeah, oh, that's a really good point. I hadn't even thought of that one. Yeah, so for you to repent, people are like, no, you're going the wrong way, right? But they're going this way and we want to go this way, right? That's a really good point, Drew. Why is it hard to... Hey, Misty, thanks for joining us. And Caleb and Tina, good having you guys here. We're in Joel chapter 2. Don says, because they are afraid it will change their current lifestyle and they are not sure of the new one. Yeah, absolutely. That is very true. We're just not sure. It is a huge gamble and adventure to follow Christ and to follow his teaching. And like what Drew said, people aren't going to be happy about it. People aren't always going to be happy about it. So that's hard. Yeah, that's a really good answer. But Joel says, you need to prepare for future calamity through corporate repentance. Through corporate repentance. Let's finish off this text. Verse 15. Blow the horn in Zion. Announce a sacred fast. Proclaim an assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged. Gather the infants, even babies nursing at the breast. Let the groom leave his bedroom and the bride her honeymoon chamber. Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, have pity on your people, Lord, and do not make your inheritance a disgrace, an object of scorn among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? If you're so inclined, last Wednesday we had a day of public prayer and fasting. I'd be curious if you want to share. You don't have to. In the comments on Facebook and YouTube, how did last Wednesday go? How was the day of public fasting? Asking specifically for God's help. How did that go? I'd be interested to find out. So here in this section, Joel says, blow the horn in Zion. So normally, the first horn call in Judah was, hey, everyone, listen up, there's danger. So then you'd listen for messengers, you wait for runners. And now he says, blow the horn again. I know you want it. You want it. You know you want it. Come on. That was better, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. I'm getting good at this thing. The second horn normally meant get an army together, right? And if you found out, oh, there's armed people coming to your house, or there's people from, I don't know, Canada coming to invade, what do? You get the military together. I know, I say Canada because then everyone laughs. Why does everyone laugh at that? but they come, the second one is like, get an army together and we're going to stop this. And here Joel is saying there's an army coming. So your first thought, I've heard the horn and now I'm going to put my army together, right? Now we're going to put an army together. Joel saying, you can't do it. It's too big. It's too strong. It's too powerful. Also, God's sending them as judgment against you for your sins. So you can't do that. Instead, we're going to blow this horn so that you repent, so that you corporately repent, so that maybe, just maybe, God will relent from sending this disaster, from sending this army against you. So the horn, because think about it, an army by definition isn't about humility and repentance. And that's not a criticism, that's just reality, right? If you want to have a military, it has to be, well, you have to have good morale. And so you want to beef each other up. Yeah, we can take them, we can take them. And Joel's like, no, wrong response this time. You can't take them. Your only hope is God. How should we respond to future calamity, near future calamity? We need to respond through corporate repentance. We need to prepare for the current calamity we're currently in and the one that's coming through corporate repentance. Repenting of our own personal sins, but also on behalf of the country, repenting for those sins. Think about it like this. Well, little kids, right? Those of you with little kids, right? Little kids do all sorts of things they're not supposed to do. And eventually, as parents, you get frustrated. And you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to, we're done with this. You now have punishment. And a lot of kids, right when they're about to get punished, right? It's almost happening. Go up to your room. What happens? The kid all of a sudden, I'm sorry, please. Oh, I don't want to go. Please, I'm so sorry. Oh, you lose the TV. You lose your tablet. No, I'm so sorry. All of a sudden, they're repentant, right? Because they're hoping that you will relent. Let's see if anyone had any thoughts on the fast. Nope, not seeing anyone sharing. That's okay. You don't have to. I did hear privately from a lot of you, and so that was good. But yeah, kids, they will, oh, please, so sorry. Or if you're a little weird and messed up like me, there are YouTube channels dedicated to prisoner or people who are convicted at their sentencing hearing. You can go look it up, and not all of them, but some of these hardened criminals who have been convicted of really horrible things, all of a sudden, when the judge is about to sentence them, they are begging for the judge to be lenient. Absolutely begging. I mean, these are tough people. And like, now they're weeping like little kids. They don't sound any different than my kids who are begging, no, please don't take the TV away from me. What will I do? They're begging. They're begging. I remember years ago, there's a church I was associated with, and they, or not associated with, but I knew them very well, and they had hired a stinker of a youth pastor, and he was arrogant and snide and mean, and finally, it went on for too long, but they went to go fire him, and when they went to go fire him, he wasn't snide, he didn't have a wise comeback or anything, he begged for his job. They wisely fired him. But think about it with you. If you are being pulled over by the police for speeding, and you legitimately were speeding, you have two options about your response when the police officer comes up, right? One is to come up with a well-formulated excuse for why you were speeding, and it might be a legitimate excuse for why you were speeding. Or two, you can fess up and say, yeah, I was speeding. Speed got away from me. I'm sorry. Can you let me off with a warning? Right? I have a number of police officer friends, and so I communicated with them this week and asked them, hey, if you're pulling someone over for speeding, would you be more likely to give them a warning if they had a really good excuse or if they fessed up to speeding and they shouldn't have done it? Which are you more likely to give them a warning for? And all of my police officer friends said that, well, not all cops are like this. But for me, if they told me that what they did was wrong and they learned from it, I'm probably going to give them a warning more than if they give me an excuse. That's what Joel's trying to do here. And by the way, be praying for our police officers. I can't speak for everyone I know, but the police officers I know are wonderful men and women, and all of them have been reaching out to myself and to their other friends in the ministry asking for prayer, because this is a very difficult time for them as well. It's a difficult time for our community, our culture, our country. But that's the same image that Joel is giving us here. The image is you're guilty and you need to beg God for reprieve. You need to beg God for reprieve. How should we prepare for future calamity? We should prepare for future calamity through corporate repentance. Through corporate repentance. I mean, you think about it like this, it's like the gospel. Right? It's exactly like the gospel. In the gospel, we repent of our sins and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of those sins, and we avoid all eternal consequences for those sins. So if repentance works for eternal issues, why not for temporary ones? Right? So it's the same with the gospel. So in our temporary issues, if this is indeed consequences for our actions, why not repent and see if we can avoid the consequences of our sin as a country? Why not? Why shouldn't we do that? We don't know if what is happening right now, with COVID-19. Oh, by the way, another future calamity that possibly could be coming, we didn't mention, it would be a second wave of COVID-19. A second wave of lockdown orders. That would be a nightmare. We don't know if all the calamity we're experiencing right now, all the hardships, all the national devastation, we don't know if that is God's justice or judgment against us. We don't know that. But every calamity is an opportunity for repentance. Every tragedy is an opportunity for repentance, for us to get right with God. Just like in Joel's day where he was saying that this army against Judah was like a mini day of the Lord. It felt like the full thing because the judgment was coming for Judah. Just in that same way, so too for us, every calamity, every tragedy is an opportunity to get right with God. And we get right with God through repentance. This is an opportunity for corporate repentance. And so think about it like this. Drayton, do you have these scriptures queued up there? In James chapter 5, verse 16, is that a yes? Okay. There we go. Thank you. James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. So here, listen to that command. Confess your sins one to another. Evangelicals stink at this, and maybe even stronger word than stink. My parents are watching. I can't use that word. We weren't allowed to use that word. Evangelicals stink at this command. Confess your sins one to another. What do? We tend to like, okay, I'll just confess my sins to Jesus, and we leave it inside. Oh, I've got it. I've got it. No, we need to confess it to each other so that each other can hear the words, "In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven." And what happens when we don't confess our sins to each other is our sin is still held in darkness. It festers. It grows. It gets worse. It gets worse until it becomes so untenable that it pours out and ruins our lives and the lives of those around us. Confess your sins one to another. I mean, that's what one of the hardships of what's happening right now. Racism is an affront to the image of God. Racism is an evil against the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God made man and woman. He made them in his image. Every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet has been made in the image of God. Every man, woman, and child, regardless of creed, of religion, of skin tone, of ethnicity, has been made in the image of God and therefore has inherent dignity and inherent value that is equal of all other people. And so racism, thinking that one group of people is better than another, is inherently evil. It's evil. It's an affront. And it's against the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is huge. However, here's the problem with what's happening right now. We're all screaming racist, 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 racist over here. There is no room in the public right now for repentance. None. And that goes for all other sins as well. Hashtag me too. There is no room for public or even private repentance. We can't. So what happens? What happens when there's no room in our culture for repentance to say, "I was wrong. What I did was evil. I'm going this way now. I'm changing." What happens? What happens is like, wow, that is, people don't like that. I'm not that. And maybe you are. And so you stuff it down, pretend like it's not there. You don't deal with your sin. You try and hide it. Or if you are conscious of it, well, I'm not going to tell anyone. So what do? Stuff it down, hide it. And what happens when sin is in darkness? Sin thrives in darkness. It grows, it becomes more ugly. We are creating our own worst mess. When you repent, as James said, confess your sins one to another. You take that sin out, you bring its ugliness into light, it can't survive there. And in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And if it keeps coming out, you keep pulling it out. And it's still like a little fluff ball instead of this massive monster that takes over you and everyone around you. We are terrible at this. We're terrible at this. And so that's why this Wednesday, we are declaring a day of public fasting. And Drayton, you can go back to this one. I know I skipped it. Sorry about that. Thank you. We're going to have another day of fasting. It will be Wednesday. We're going to say all day, we're going to ask people to fast and pray. And before we focused on asking God for help, now we are focusing on repentance. We are repenting for our own personal sins, and we are repenting on behalf of the country for the United States of America's sins. And you know what? Some people are like, well, you can't do that. Of course you can. Joel is having them do that. And more so than with Joel, we're a representative republic. So it's a democracy. So of course we can do that. I can vote. If I can vote, I can also repent on behalf of my country. We are going to spend the day in repentance, a day of prayer and fasting on Wednesday. And so there's a few different ways if God wants it to happen, it didn't happen last week because threat of tornado, no power, roads shut down. And then, of course, as soon as we canceled it, an hour later, everything came back. Everything, it is what it is. But we still prayed and we still fasted together. We're going to meet here again at 6 o'clock outside, no face masks, socially distanced, and we will spend that time repenting of our own sins repenting on behalf of the country at 6 o'clock. But what I invite you to do is spend Wednesday as a day of prayer and fasting. And as last time, what I encourage you to do, if you can do a 24-hour period fast, that would be great. And let me give you a suggestion on what we should do for a 24-hour fast. Tuesday night, have dinner, and then stop eating. So let's say you're done with it at 7 o'clock. So you're done with dinner at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Go through the day, skip breakfast, skip lunch, don't have an early dinner. And then at 7 p.m., after 7 p.m., have a simple meal. And you've hit a 24-hour period. That's what I would suggest you do. If you can't do that, what I'd suggest is try to skip just two meals. If you can't do that, try and skip one meal. If you can't skip one meal, try to simplify the meals that you're having. As we talked about last week, fasting, you can drink as much water as you want, but we are giving up food in order to say, God, you are more important to me than food. God, I need you more than food. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's what we're doing through fasting. And every time you feel a hunger pang, you are reminded, I need to pray. Every time you go grab food and catch yourself, you go, I need to repent of my sins. God, please relent from this calamity. We repent of our sins. I repent of my own sins. I repent of the sins of our country. And so as we follow James, so also we look, well, what sins should we repent of? I keep going back to Galatians 5. Go ahead and put this one up, Drayton. Galatians 5, 19 says this. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There are other sin lists out there, and throughout the day on social media, I will be posting those sin lists, and I would encourage you, have Galatians 5 queued up, and as you're thinking, read through those, repent of any of those that apply to you, and repent on behalf of our country for those sins. We are going to go through that long list. And as we learned in our online devotionals, go ahead and go to Psalm 19 there, Drayton. We learned that there are sins that we're not always aware of, right? David said, who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, keep your servant from willful sins. Do not let them rule me. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from blatant rebellion. So there are sins that we are not aware of, and we will repent of those too. God, if there is anything in my heart, reveal it to me or take it away. I repent. It's not going to be a fun time, but I think it's an important thing for us to do. As Joel was facing devastation, as he was facing future calamity, we need to be a people of repentance. I don't know what God's intentions are with all of the hardships we are facing right now, but I do know from Scripture, I do know from the Gospels, I do know from the Epistles, I do know from the prophet Joel, calamity is always an opportunity to repent. In the midst of tragedy, God is always calling his people to repent. Who knows? God may relent from all the suffering we are going through right now and all the suffering we are perceiving to come. How should we prepare for future calamity? You should prepare for future calamity through corporate repentance. The Spirit of God is calling us to do that. Join with me this Wednesday as a time that we are focusing, even while we're at work, of repenting for our sins personally and nationally. Let's repent of our sins. blow the horn in Kingsley. Why should the people say, where is their God? Let's pray. Father, as we prepare our hearts to repent to you on Wednesday, we know that we are in a very difficult time. I know that, looking at our own numbers, people are falling away from church. People are just kind of tuning out from the online. They're tuning out from in-person. They're passing up opportunities. It is very hard, Lord. Now is not the time for us to check out. Now is the time for us to check into you. Now is the time for us to draw near to you. Now is not the time for finger pointing. Now is the time for repentance of our sins as individuals and as a country. Break our hearts, Lord. Help us to tear not just our clothes. Help us to tear our hearts in repentance, Lord. Father, we repent right now. We repent of the things that we have done. Cast down our idols. Take them away. Lord, we know that we have made people into idols. We know that we have made our comfort into an idol. We repent. Take our sin away from us. Wash us clean as snow. Change us. We know that there is so much happening right now in our culture, in our community. We see so much, and please give us relief. We repent. Help us to follow you. It's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen.